Well, welcome to the 7 secrets of finding a job fast. There's 3 types of jobs that I want to just briefly discuss here today. One is, do you want a job that you can get quickly and you don't care what it is? You're not looking for any particular fulfillment or meaning in the job. You just need to get one quickly that will earn you some money, and that is basically the solution you're looking for. Or secondly, do you want a job that is going to provide some meaning and purpose and a real sense of fulfillment in your career? Or thirdly, a mixture of the two. In other words, I am in a hurry. I do want to have a little bit of meaning and purpose, but you know, my main purpose is really just to get something quickly and to get some cash rolling in. So those three are all valid. You know, there's no reason why someone can't pursue a job for the purpose of cash if that's the season they're in and they need to be getting some money in quickly. However, the title of this is The 7 Secrets of Winning the Best Jobs Fast. Now, although it's quite possible to go out and get a job quickly in an area that's perhaps fairly unskilled and to get some cash in quickly, the real purpose of this audiobook is to show you how to get a good job fast. And a good job fast sometimes sounds like it takes longer than a not so good job fast, but that's not the case in the long term. Long term, although there is some steps and some work involved in some of the things I'm going to talk about, in the end, it is the fastest way to get a good job. Okay, so to begin with, ultimately, everyone wants to be doing something that makes a difference in the world. Everybody does want to have a job, ultimately, in the long term, that has the ability to provide them some meaning and some purpose and some reason for being here. You know, we get, you know, 70 or 80 years here on this earth, and for the most part of our working hours, for the biggest segment, the biggest duration of our life, we are going to be working. And so if we begin to look at that in a way and say, well, I don't want to be spending most of my waking hours on this planet doing something that I find is drudgery, that I find is not fulfilling, not particularly satisfying. You know, there's part of every man and woman that want to have fulfillment and satisfaction in their career and indeed their life. The other thing I'll throw in here is that there's a direct correlation between fulfillment and gaining a sense of satisfaction in our career and how much we are helping others or providing some benefit, some positive benefit to the people around us. So that's something that you may not have thought about before, that, you know, if you're in a job that, you know, like somebody, I think it was Tom Peters, who once said about a CEO of Coca-Cola, when they were having a meaningful discussion about career direction and career development and where they were heading, and he said to this top Coca-Cola executive, you know, at the end of the day, do you want to be selling sugared water to kids for the rest of your life? And that kind of sometimes is a perspective we need to have thrown at us. You know, are we doing something that has some value and that we can feel a sense of fulfillment and purpose about in what we're doing? Okay, just going to talk a little bit about this word fast, getting jobs fast. Firstly, we know that approximately 3 months is the average time it takes for a person to get a job from the moment they start actively looking. So, I mean, that's research that's been around a while. We're in an economic climate now that is very difficult, quite tight. Job numbers are down, unemployment's up, and pretty much across the board, across the Western world, there's a greater demand for jobs than there is supply. So we would expect in a market like that, that the amount of time that a person takes to get a job from when they actively begin looking would be longer than 3 months. Now, this is a lot longer than most people realize. You know, if you ask the average man on the street, how long would it take for you to get a job if you became unemployed tomorrow? They might say, you know, 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. But research shows that that's not true, that there's quite a gap between what people expect it will take them to get a job and the reality of how long it actually does take them. The other thing I just want to touch on is I've created this audio book as an audio. There's a real purpose behind that. Could have easily just, you know, banged it out on a PDF document. But there's two reasons. One is that we live in a culture that is very fast-paced these days. It's quite difficult to sit down and read any amount of material. And people are finding it a whole lot easier to, you know, listen to something while they are perhaps doing their exercises or in the car or at the gym or whatever it might be. So there's an opportunity there to double task effectively, to be taking the information in while you're doing something else. But probably more importantly, the reason that I created the audiobook was that I'm aware that many people read material. Everybody, in fact, reads material and only retains a very small amount of it. So for us to take in material and then use that material to take action steps in our lives towards something, and in this case a career development, then we need to be having it repeated over and over into our mind so that it becomes embedded in there, and at that point we can then begin to remember it and take steps, take action. So if we begin to read a book and then 2 weeks later we walk away, we will retain very little of it. Providing this information on an audiobook allows you to listen to it repeatedly, you know, while you're out there maybe doing your exercise or in the car, and it is information that does need to be got into our minds and remembered before we can act on it. So that's another advantage of having it on audio. Okay, finding a job fast is all about matchmaking. You know, linking who you are as an employee or potential employee with an employer who needs what you have. And there's a few things that employers like to have in an employee. We know that one of the key reasons that an employer will employ a prospective employee is because they like you. It's just a very simple, down-to-earth human aspect that they like you as a person. Now, sometimes your skill level might not be quite up there. Obviously, it's not an area they could ignore completely, but there are many employers who effectively say, you know, they went on a gut instinct, or they, you know, they just felt, you know, in their heart that this was the right person. And so although all of those other aspects of experience and skill base and things like that are important, you will be unlikely to get a job if there's no rapport and no connection between you and the person who is effectively got the authority to make the hiring decision. Secondly, they are looking for, all employers in a roundabout sort of way, are looking for someone who can add to their business, who can effectively add to their bottom line in some way, either through perhaps increasing revenue, reducing expenses, adding to the culture, which will have an effect across perhaps staff members or some other aspect of the working environment. It could be to do with, you know, reducing stress in the workplace, which is becoming an issue these days. It could be in regards to, you know, simply making it safer, which, you know, in a roundabout sort of way, these do affect the bottom line anyway, or just to make it a happier place. You know, we know that happy employees are more productive employees, so in the same way, again, it's producing effects on the bottom line. Employers are also looking for someone who they think will fit into their team environment. They don't want to bring in anyone who could possibly cause some conflict, or, I mean, there's going to be conflict of some sort, but I mean someone who's primarily got a problem with causing conflict and having difficulty getting along with other people. So they want to make sure that the person coming in is going to, you know, fit into the environment well and fit into the team, and that they're going to complement it rather than sort of go against it. I mean, having said that, of course, the environment that a person is brought into is probably a bigger factor in the outcome of the happiness of that person and the productivity of that person than the person themselves. In other words, you can take a person that might be struggling a little bit in, you know, their positive outlook, or perhaps relationship issues in regards to workmates and things, and they're brought into this new working environment where it's very positive, it's very upbeat, there's a good self-affirming culture, and that person can be influenced by the culture around them. So the other aspect is that, of course, possibly the most important one, is that the matchmaking needs to be looked at from your perspective. So this isn't all about just the employer getting somebody they like. It's about the employee getting somewhere that they not only like to work, but in regards to the skills they can use, but also the environment that they can work in that's going to provide a level of fulfillment and happiness for them. You know, does it offer a good match between the skills you enjoy using and the work that they need to have done? Okay, so moving on to really what is the foundation of all successful job searches. And it's simply this, that if you're going to work in a job that is going to bring happiness and a sense of meaning and fulfillment, then you need to be doing work that is matched well with who you are as a person, your motivational style, your inborn, your innate gifts and abilities that I believe that every person is born with effectively from day one. You know, it was Socrates who said, "Know thyself." And that's the foundation of a good career search. We must know ourselves. And I guess it's also probably the biggest hurdle. As a career counsellor, I've been involved in the career industry for 10, 15 years now. And I think it's one of the biggest issues that people face is to actually get to know who they are and the gifts and the abilities they have. And there are some things you can do to enhance that. What can be very beneficial is to come and see somebody like me and have a chat about, you know, these aspects, these potential skills and abilities that are lying underneath or that you're not quite sure about. There seems to be, you know, being pulled this way and pulled that way, and there's an element of confusion about the direction you should go. Well, talking it through with someone like myself, career counsellor, you would generally get some good benefits out of that, and it's normally money well spent. Now, a good place to start with this is there is an assessment on my website. It's a free download you can have. It allows you to assess your abilities and your skills from a historical perspective. In other words, what it does, it has a look at the different time blocks in your life, and it goes back through and it says, what are some things during, you know, maybe from the age 5 to 12, what are some things that I did as a child that I particularly enjoyed from my perspective, not necessarily from parents or other people, but from my perspective, something that I particularly enjoyed and something that I felt I did quite well. Once again, something that I felt I did quite well, not where others would. So that might be something where, I'm not necessarily talking about things where you were given an award or things like that, although it may be that, but things that meant something to you, that you felt like I had it, there was a sense of achievement there, there was a sense that I had really enjoyed this. So we do that with different time blocks. We start off with your childhood years and then moving through your teenage years and then into your adult years. And so what we do is we do that a number of times, and then we have a look at what common themes come through those achievements or those things you've done that you've felt a sense of fulfillment from. And what we know from years of doing this, and I don't just mean me, but this concept is used globally, we know that there is common themes that come up in everybody's life. And even if you've had a background that might not have been exposed to, you know, many good opportunities as a child or through your teenage years, these styles still come through. These innate skills, innate abilities and motivations still begin to show themselves. You know, I remember way back when I first did this exercise, and it's a tremendously fulfilling exercise. It boosts your self-esteem. It takes you to a place where you begin to see yourself in a different light. You begin to see, you know, quite frankly, you begin to see the purpose for which you were on this earth quite often. And it gives you a new zeal and a new energy level for career and indeed life. So go to my website, smilingcareers.com. That's www.smilingcareers. And if you click on the free assessment that's on the main homepage, you can be taken through there and you can do that. You'll also need to download, to go with that exercise, download a skills list that's provided there, a link to that. So a good thing to do would be to go ahead and do that now. Some of you are listening to this in a car or out on your bike or whatever, so you can't do that now. But at the end of this recording, I'm going to just repeat some of the resources and point you to where you can get them, including any contact information for myself. So just verbally running through the rest of what happens in that assessment, because you can kind of begin to think about it if you're unable to go there or unable to pick up a pen and paper now. After we have a bunch of assessments and we look for a common theme and we download the skills list and we look for common skills that have been used throughout your entire life, then we begin to say, okay, what are the skills that got used mostly? And then what are some job types now that use these skills, that primarily use these skills that I have? And then the next stage would be to collate all those skills together. And then after you've thought about it, and if you're working with me, we do that together. But after you've thought about that, what job types primarily match these skills, what I recommend people do is to then ask that same question to a number of other people. And one of the best ways to do that is actually to create a little bit of an informal brainstorming group, if you like. You know, invite some friends over, some people who you think will be able to contribute to this. You know, put on a bit of a coffee or supper or whatever it might be. And just begin to say, okay, explain obviously what you've been doing, going through the career assessment process. List up, you know, maybe on a whiteboard, the skills that you have as a result of going through this assessment, the skills that have shown up in your life repeatedly through these years in different life blocks. And then begin to ask the question, what job types do you think of when these types of skills are mentioned? And through the years, I've used a few different systems to create job option types from the skills of a particular individual. And sometimes we used to send out letters to their friends and family, etc., and just effectively ask that same question. But one of the best ways, I believe, is if you can get a group of people together. There's an aspect of brainstorming where different minds are bouncing off each other in a single room that create just a whole lot more options than perhaps an individual will create on their own. But if you don't want to do that, or you find yourself in a place where you are unable to, then simply sending out a letter or an email, I find that hard copy letters work better than emails, but sending out either a letter or an email, basically outlining those details, the skills that you've identified, and then just asking them what sort of job types can you think of when these job skills are mentioned. So the next stage in the process is once we have some job types, and I guess at this point it's probably worth mentioning some of those job types can be potentially jobs that don't exist yet. I was reading a book recently of a gentleman who had for I think a period of something like 29 years had six or seven jobs, and each one of those jobs was a job that was created specifically for him. In other words, the job did not exist before he started doing it. So the reason I say that is simply that you're not limited to just the jobs that are out there in the marketplace now. There are many jobs that you can effectively create when you match your skills together. And it's simply, you know, about saying, okay, this is my skill base. These are the things I love to do. These are the things I'm passionate and motivated about. Who could use me most, or who could benefit from me most? So that's the question you should be thinking about. And so often that can result in new job types being created. And that's kind of quite exciting, because people can end up, you know, with an unlimited list of potential job types. So that's one thing. The other aspect, of course, is to, you know, often as I work with people, we discover that self-employment is an option, that they perhaps actually don't want to go and work for somebody, but these, after working through this process, they discover that one of the things that motivates them is actually the whole concept of entrepreneurship and the independence of being on their own, and effectively the positive aspects that come from being your own boss. So, you know, that's worth taking into account as well. It's another whole subject, which we may do at another time. Okay, so now we're at the place where we have identified our skills, the things that we love to use. Remember that this exercise was going to identify those things, not so much that we have used a lot in the past, but rather those things we have enjoyed using the most. And there's a difference there. Often people can be in a job where they have become very skilled in the area, but it's not really what they love doing the most. So just wanted to communicate the difference between those two there. So we're talking about skills that you A, love to use, and B, are good at using in a relative sense. So the next stage in the process is I have all my job skills. We've maybe looked at the whole concept of new job types that have come from that, and also potentially the self-employment prospect. So we're going to pursue just one of those avenues now. One is the one that we are going to expect to get a job from the current market through an employer in the traditional type way. So what we need to find out next is we've identified which job types use these skills and abilities that I'm most motivated to use, but which organisations have these types of jobs? And not only which organisations have these types of jobs, but how do I get to these organisations? What's the best way to effectively communicate with them and obviously get your foot in the door, so to speak, to actually present yourself? Well, there's a lot of ways to do that, but there is one way that stands head and shoulders above the rest as far as success goes. And there's a few reasons why it's successful. One is that it's based on relationships. But secondly, it's also very successful because not many people do it, which in itself makes it successful. If you find a job pursuing method that is not used by many, then you are going to have greater success because effectively your competition has automatically gone down. The traditional methods we know about, you know, finding jobs on the internet, finding jobs in the classified section of the newspaper, finding jobs through recruitment agencies, all of those things are fine, but we do know that they are not the most successful job search methods. About 80% of all jobs do come through what was known as the hidden job market. In other words, hidden jobs or the hidden job market are all of those jobs that never actually get advertised. They never appear in the newspaper. They never appear on job search websites. They never appear at recruitment agencies. They come up and are filled without hardly anybody finding out about them. So the reason this happens is because this is a typical scenario of what might happen in a business when an opportunity comes up for the business to have a need to employ a new employee. The owner or the manager of the business might typically say to the existing staff, we've got this position that we've got coming up because perhaps Mary's left or there's another position being created by expansion, etc. So the boss would say to them, do you know anybody, talking to the staff here, do you know anybody that would be good for this position? Now, the reason that a lot of employers do that is simply that the process is simplified because it's a very long process going through either a recruitment agency or doing it yourself and interviewing a lot of people and culling out all of those people that you don't think are going to fit, and it's incredibly labour intensive, and if it's through a recruitment agency it can be quite expensive. So if there's an easy way for an employer to find an employee that will do the job and fits the bill, then they want to do it that way. And this is why the hidden job market is so large and so effective, because they want to make their life easy as well. So if you can tap into the hidden job market, which we're going to talk about a wee bit more, then your success rate will skyrocket effectively. So that's one method that is used in a hidden job market, where an employer says to his staff, do you know anybody that wants a job? And of course, what they're saying is, you guys are employees that I like, and I trust that the people that you know and who you recommend to this business will be people of similar stature and of similar ethics and all those sorts of things. So they're going to get a similar type of person. And so they've already culled out a whole lot of people that might not otherwise be suitable. The hidden job market is more than just that, of course. It's everything from somebody going around and just not simply knocking on doors, or in any way communicating directly with the business, unaware or unsure whether they might have a vacancy. I mean, that in itself, you know, simply going around and knocking on doors is a whole lot more successful than spending a lot of time in newspapers and job websites. Not to say you shouldn't do that, but your time spent should be proportionate to the results that we know come from those methods. So if 80% of jobs come from the hidden job market, then we should really be spending 80% of our time pursuing job possibilities through those methods. Now, the hidden job market, the most successful way that gains results is through networking. Now, networking is, you know, it works on the basis that you're never far away from another person. You know, you've probably heard about the 7 degrees of separation. 7 degrees of separation means that you are only ever 7 contacts away from any other person on the planet. That somebody you know will know someone that knows someone that knows someone that knows someone else that knows the person you're looking for. Let me explain that. There was an exercise done several years ago where a company wanted to test this theory, and they provided a package to somebody, and they had to get that package to another person in another country, another side of the world, that the person who was sending the package didn't have any idea who they were. So what they had to do, they had to take the package and they had to send it to a person that they thought might be one step closer to knowing this person. For example, the information that was given to the original person was that here is the person, and here is the country they live in, and I think they also gave the type of job they were in. So the person with the package, the first person, had to find somebody that they thought would be one step closer to knowing somebody that might know the person where the package had to be sent. So they gave it to a particular person, we'll call them person B, and then that person B had to do exactly the same. They had to then try to send the package to someone who they felt would be one step closer to knowing, or would potentially know that person, or know a person who knew them. And what they found was it took exactly 7 people before the package reached the final destination. So we started off with a package that was given to a person. All they knew about them was the country they lived in, the name, and the occupation they had. And they had to get that package to the final destination, the final person, simply by connecting with someone they knew and asking them to forward it to someone they knew, and so on and so on. So networking works in exactly the same way. Of course, in this sense, we want to be able to find people that are in organisations that we've now identified that would potentially have jobs that we're looking for. Okay, so here's networking 101. Let's just start with some very basic things. And I think once you do a couple of these things, you'll get a feel for it. Even though it scares some people at times, and it feels a little bit, you know, risky and in areas that you might not have worked in before in regards to contacting people and potentially asking them about work situations. But here's how it works. And this is what I would recommend you do. Simply go to your telephone, your BlackBerry, your iPod, iPhone rather, or your email software, maybe your Outlook, and just look through all the people that are listed in there, people you've sent emails to, either through business or friends, people you've phoned through your telephone, and just jot down a list of those people who you know to some degree or another. In some respects, this process should start right in the beginning, because this is kind of like, if you haven't been, you know, in contact with people, or you're, you know, pretty much a sort of keep to yourself person and a bit shy, and you don't really have much to do with those people on your contact list except where you have to, where you're forced to, then this is a bit of a softening up process, and just kind of communicating with them again and getting in touch with them again. So, you know, choose a number of people on the list from maybe your Outlook email software, and simply just send them something of interest. Okay, so it might be something you've come across that you think they'll be interested in the internet. It might be some news that you have. You know, it might be that you've updated your email address, or changed your phone, or that you've had a baby, that you've left your job, or it might be just something you've found interesting on the internet. You know, we're always receiving things on the internet from friends. Sometimes it can be something funny, sometimes it can be something of interest, but we need to choose something that's appropriate for the person. So just an entry-level point of contact. You might not have been in touch with them for many months, but, you know, potentially years. Just a way of touching base with them again, and just reminding them that you're still around. So this is just to start the networking process rolling, to get you in the habit of communicating with people who you have had some contact with, although maybe not for a while, and just sort of re-establishing those relationships a wee bit. Because relationships are the foundation of networking. In fact, I think it was Tom Peters who said in regards to selling that relationships are everything. And as you'll see, that selling is actually going to be a critical part of the process of you getting a job. There's a great book out about networking and having understanding and working through and establishing habits of networking. And the book's called Never Eat Alone. So if you want to have a look at that up on Amazon, you could find that. It's a great book to just get your teeth into in regards to networking. Now, developing and maintaining relationships, as I mentioned before, is risky. It does require work, but it's incredibly rewarding. Now, I'm not just not talking about for the purpose of finding a job. It's incredibly rewarding to us as people if we can maintain good relationships with a large number of people. It makes life a lot more interesting and active. I'm aware that a lot of people struggle with this whole networking thing, but if I can encourage you to read that book I mentioned before, Never Eat Alone, and there's a lot of other great books as well, but that's one that is particularly good. But if you do struggle with this area, I recommend just do it at a level. I talked about before just contacting a few people with some piece of information that'll just allow you to create a little bit of contact, and then we're going to step it up a wee bit. So we're just talking about re-establishing perhaps some relationships that might not have been active for a wee while, and that will hold you in good stead when we begin to contact a number of people to gain some information and effectively begin the networking process proper. Okay, just wanted to recap where we've been. We started off talking about, you know, getting a job fast, and then discovering that getting a job fast takes a little bit longer than most people think. But also getting a job fast is about finding out who we are. You know, that's the basis of the whole successful career search, effectively. And we talked about an assessment that you can get online off my website for free that will help you do this. We talked about coming and seeing me to discuss some of those issues. We talked about also just the critical nature of getting that foundation right before you move on. You know, when I say right, I don't mean perfect, because there's no such thing as perfection in regards to that. The whole career development in an individual's life is very much an evolving thing. You often speak about, you know, in regards to career, we go as far as we can see, and then we can see to go further. So sometimes a person's career is totally mapped out for them from a very young age. I have 7 children, and one of those 7 children, they're all still young. You know, the youngest is still 4, obviously, so there's not too much career development going on there. But of those 7 children, they're ranged oldest is 17, youngest is 4. Only one of them at this point knows what they want to do, and passionately knows what they want to do, and has known what they wanted to do from a very young age, and is actually, even though he's only 4 to 13, he's already involved in some of the training that's involved in securing that career. So, but I say that simply because that's not the norm. There are some people like that. They are a minority. I don't fully understand why some of us get to know what we want to do very easily, innately, and we never take our eyes off it from almost the moment we're born. Small minority. But for the majority of us, that's not the case. It's a little bit more of a windy road, and getting there is, you know, involves a few decisions that may not go exactly right. But, you know, at the foundation of it is really this knowing ourselves, knowing who we are, knowing what motivates us from the core of who we are, and knowing really what it is that we want to achieve on this earth before we leave, effectively. So that's just the important part of getting to know ourselves well. We talked about then uncovering those skills from the assessment on the website, finding out what they are, maybe getting together in a brainstorming group and coming up with some job types that come from those skills that we've established that are common through those achievements. Then we talked about how to contact employers, and then we've touched on the networking process. and contacting employers and the networking process are obviously intermeshed. We talked about the hidden job market, about how most jobs are not found in newspapers, employment agencies, on websites, job search websites, that sort of thing. Most of them are found through the hidden job market, which is that job market where the jobs are never advertised. Okay, well, that pretty much wraps this session up. If you need to contact me, you can do so by going to my website, which is smilingcareers.com, and there you'll find details, contact through either telephone, Skype, email. If you live in Christchurch, you can call me on 358-9920. That's 358-9920. If you are from outside of New Zealand, you can contact me and we can work together through Skype or by telephone. Also, if you would like to receive further audio, MP3 audio files, such as this one, that you can listen to, go to my website, smilingcareers.com, and click on the contact tab on the homepage, and just send me a quick note with your email address telling me that you would like to receive any updates or any new audio files on similar subjects that is going to help your career and job search.